Amen. I like to say it's a blessing to be back in the Lord's house tonight. I thank God for the thickness, like Grandma's old gravy. It's been around here lately, and it's been thick. And I thank God for that, because I've needed it. And I know there's many of you that has needed that likewise. And I feel led tonight. It seems like the Lord's really been just leading me through the Word here lately, and I've had three or four different messages that God's given me that could go any time. They're ready to rock and ride at any moment. But the Lord began to speak to me last Sunday, and not once did I think I would be preaching it this Sunday, as the Lord was leading me last Sunday morning while I was sitting against the wall. But I feel like, as good as things was this morning, I feel like somebody still needs just a little bit of oomph to get up out of the hole. And so I feel like tonight I feel led of the Lord to look in Exodus chapter number 6 this evening. And if you don't have your cushions, we're selling some out in the front lobby and at the back door there. I'm going to try to preach Exodus and the book after it tonight, and I've got a total of about 56 points we're going to cover. I've got a big shoe to fill tonight. I love our young preachers. I thank God for them, Brother David and Brother Josh. And I thank God for still calling men of God out of our church tonight, and I thank God for that. But if you found your place this evening in Exodus chapter 6, I want to read two verses to start with. Before we begin this journey tonight that the Lord has led me on, if you would stand, the reverence of reading of God's Word this evening. Exodus chapter number 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you're with us, say amen this evening. Amen. Then the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what... Now listen, he says, I will. You just hang on to that thought. Do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Verse 2, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Amen. Our Father and our God tonight, I ask Father that, Lord, you would help a people here tonight. God, I ask, Father, that you'd anoint their hearing, God, and understanding. Lord, I'm asking, Father, that you would allow them to grasp this message, Father, to get a hold of it, God, just like I've got it. Lord, that they'd have understanding, God, as they go out the doors tonight of your house. Lord, that they'd chew on this, God, in days to come, that it would be of a help unto them. And God, I pray tonight, Father, if they'd be one here that's lost, God, how I pray tonight, Lord, you'd save them. God, if it be your will, Lord, would it be the day, God, Lord, that you'd lift one out of the miry clay. I pray, God, that'd be, Lord, acceptable unto your sight tonight. Lord, would you help us, Father, as God, you are my shepherd tonight. And Father, I need your help tonight. God, I can't do this, nor do I want to do this tonight, God, without you. And God, would you get behind me, Lord, get in front of me, God, and to my left and to my right. God, would you lead me tonight, God, that your people would be helped. God, and I pray these things in Jesus' sweet, precious, holy name I pray. Amen. And amen. As we look tonight in Exodus chapter, as we've read in chapter number 6, we'll be back in this chapter later on in the message. But I want you to turn with me to chapter number 3, as we try to get started tonight. I want to give you kind of we're going to begin in chapter 3 and lead up to chapter 6 to the meat of the message, as how the Lord has led us tonight in chapter number 3. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. When God says, I will. Amen. When God says, I will. I believe tonight there's somebody that's needing to hear God say, I will for you tonight. To give you a little bit of oomph up out of the hole. Like if this morning just wasn't good enough for you, and you've come back and said, Lord, if you'll just do it one more time, and God said, I will. Going to give a oomph tonight. As we read in chapter number 3, I want to see our first point tonight. We see a call to attendance. In chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, in the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of the fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. There's your call to attendance. Yes, the Lord said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I, Lord. Yes. As he turned aside. Now think about this now. This bush is on fire. And Moses said, Moses was kind of scared, and that bush is burning now. And he turned to the side. I mean, he didn't want to completely look on as he was facing it, but he wanted to turn to the side, and the bush said, Moses, Moses, David, David, Darren, Darren. Moses said, Here am I. The Lord just called him to attendance. You see that there. The Lord called Moses to an attendance there. As Moses has traveled, he's took the flock so far off, plumb to the back side of the mountain. I mean, why would you even go to the back side of the mountain? As like the preacher was preaching this morning, you only would go to the back side of the mountain to be getting away from something. He's went to the back side of the mountain to get far away of whatever it is that's coming for him. But God found him on the back side of the mountain. And God still can go to the back side of the mountain, as he can go to the hole you're in, and he say, Hey, you! You say, Here am I. We see here, he looked unto Moses and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Moses. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. How many times have you been in a hole and God come calling for you, and you got afraid, and you put your hands up over you, and God's wanting you to do something, and you come afraid and put your hands up over your eyes? It's just like Samson. He got distracted. But we see there, verse number 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring to them up out the land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I want you to jump over here with me to verse number 11. And the Bible says, And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, where thou hast brought forth the people out of the Egypt, and ye shall serve God upon the mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto thee, or unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So we see Moses here as he went to the back side of the mountain, and he has been on the far side there of the mount of God, and God has showed up in a burning bush, and he spoke to Moses, and he said, "Moses, Moses," and Moses said, "Here am I." The Lord's called him to attendance here. And he's called his name, he's called his role, because he's got a role and a job for Moses, just like he's got a role and a job for you tonight. And he's come searching, and he's come looking, and he's called him up there. And as he see, as they've went on and had conversation, and Moses says, "But Lord, who am I? Who am I, Lord, that you would want me to lead the Israelites out of Pharaoh's hand, out of his bondage, out of what he's got them in? Lord, who am I?" God said, "You go and you tell them that I said, I am that I am." Here is Moses, just like each and every one of us. Moses says, "Lord, who am I?" Well, Lord, they ain't going to know they ain't going to know me, or they ain't going to know who I am, or they're going to laugh at me, God, if I go in there and say, "Well, your Lord sent me," or if I go in there and say, "Well, I spoke to your God, the God that's yours, and he just sent me." Lord, I can't. And God said, "You go, and you tell them that I am that I am." So we see the call to attendance here tonight. Second of all, not only do we see the call of attendance, we see Moses has been called up. He's been called to the batter's box, so to speak. We see a little over in chapter 4 here, in verse number 10, the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 10, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of the speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who hath maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Neither therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Here's Moses once again. He's come with his first realm or first wave of excuses. Oftentimes I find myself, "Well, Lord, God, I really don't have the education to do that." Or, "God, Lord, I don't really have the knowledge to, Lord, to do what's on the other side of the door over there. God, I've been praying for a door, and Lord, I've been praying you show me, but God, my speech is slow. I'm slow to think. God, I just don't have the attributes to do what you want me to do." What's the Lord say? He said, "Did I not make your mouth? Did I not give you what you stood in need of? Did I not say that I will go with thee, and will give thee speech, and will teach thee all that thou needest to know, and I will be with thee every step of the way?" How many times have we done that tonight? When the Lord's called you up and he says, "Well, I want you in a fiery point in your life," when God's molding you, and you say, "Well, I don't know what the Lord's making me suffer through this for. I don't know what the Lord's doing. Why, Lord, why me?" And God said, "I've chosen you. I've chosen Bethel because I know you're capable of it. I know you can do it." So not only we see in chapter 3, are you with me tonight? Are you getting it? We see chapter 3 as Moses has been called to attendance. Second of all, we see the call to a choir. We see here in chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse 15. Now, to fill you in, just to skim over of chapter 4, or later half of chapter 4, Moses has met up with Aaron, and he's telling him all the good news. And right before Moses met up with Aaron, Moses said, "Lord, what shall I do? And then, Lord, how am I going to show him these things?" And God said, "Is that your staff?" And he said, "Yeah." And God said, "Moses, throw that staff on the ground." And by the time Moses threw it on the ground, it became a serpent. And that serpent was withered. And he said Moses ran and hid himself from it because he is scared of it. And there, and God said, don't be afraid. He said, I tell thee, pick the serpent up and it'll conform unto a rod. Moses went over there and said he called it up by the tail and it conformed back into the rod, into the spur that it is, in the stake of the staff. And the Lord said, he said, Moses, you go and you tell them that I am that I am. And he said, when they say what else? He said, you throw that staff on the ground and you pick it back up and they shall know that I am God.
Amen.
I believe there's some of you that's got a staff in your hand that's scared to let go of it. We see here as he's a call to acquire. Moses has been called to attendance and Moses has answered the call. Now we see a call to acquire as Moses says, as he's got the word of the Lord and he's going to Israel, the Israelites, and he's going to tell them about it. He's wanting to know more. That word acquire, I got to looking that up. That word acquire means to have, maybe to gather up what the other has, or to be like, or to get a hold of something of what you're going after. And I got to thinking, well, maybe Moses, when he's acquiring here about the Lord, he's just wanting to get some more attributes of what the Lord's got. He's wanting to be a little bit more like the Lord, like we ought to be. Bless God, when he grabbed the staff, that serpent up, and it went back to a staff, I believe he's going to take that and just want to be a little bit more like the Lord. We see here in chapter number 5, verse number 15, he's met up with Aaron, and they're on their way down to the Israelites. And as we come into chapter 5, he's went in and he's told Pharaoh about this. And he said, you know, Pharaoh, he said, you go let my people go that they might serve the Lord, that they might make a sacrifice. And Pharaoh looked at him and laughed in his face. He mocked him because he come in and he said, well, what, Lord, are you talking about there, Moses? What God are you calling God? We see here, as we've come through, that's about verses 1 through 14. And now we come into verse 15. Everybody with me? Amen? Exodus chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants that they may that they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. And this is Pharaoh speaking. Ye are idle. Ye are idle. That word idle means to be slack. They have become slack. He said, ye are slack. Ye are slack. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh said, he said, you come unto me. He said, and you're wanting, you say, well, we can't make brick, Pharaoh, because we have no straw to make brick. And Pharaoh said, but you're slacking. You're slacking because you say, oh, well, I ain't God. But if you'll just let us go and not make the brick and let us go serve the Lord. Hear what Pharaoh has to say. He responds in verse 18, now go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tail of bricks. Pharaoh said, you just go ahead and go make them anyways. I don't care if you got any straw. I don't care if you got what you need, whether you do, whether you don't. Go make the bricks likewise and bring them to me anyways. How many times you hear that? The devil says, well, the Lord ain't hearing you. You just go on anyways. The devil says, you're all right. If you just lay out one Sunday, you just go on anyways. They might notice you the next Sunday. I know you're struggling, but the Lord ain't here. You just go on. Come back another time. How familiar is that word? But we see here, Pharaoh says, verse 19, the Bible says, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily tasks. That word minish means to make small. So what he's saying here, what he's trying to get across is he's telling them, he said, you're going to go back and you're going to make brick without product. You know, it's just like trying to make grandma's biscuits. You can't leave one ingredient out, expect them to come out the same. It don't work like that. Pharaoh said, you're going to go, and I ain't going to give you no straw. And a straw was used as a binding agent to kind of hold it all together, kind of like an interweaving motion there. And Pharaoh said, I ain't giving you no straw to make the brick, but you go make it anyways. But don't minish it there. Don't cut corners. It's still going to be X number long, Y number wide, Z number tall. And he said, you still bring it back, and don't bring it back smaller than the dimensions that I've showed you. Oftentimes, when we're given a little bit harder circumstances or we ain't got all the pieces to the puzzle, us Christians, us safe folk, want to cut corners. We want to cut corners and expect God to still be God. He's going to be God, but we're going to chastise a little for it. But I see here, a little bit later in the chapter, number 5, hang with me now. Chapter 5 and verse 20. And then here we are. Moses is standing in the aisleway. Just to kind of give you a reference, Moses is standing in the aisleway. And he's riding. He's kind of listening what's going on. I'm sure Moses has just left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's mocked Moses, mocked God, mocked everybody, laughed in his face. And Moses and Aaron's kind of got their head down. And they're thinking of what in the world. And they hear them Israelites. They went up there and they said, Pharaoh, we ain't got straw. We ain't got what we need to make bricks. Pharaoh said, don't minish it, but do it right and do it the way it ought to be. And Moses is standing and he's listening. I believe he stood in the hallway. And he's listening to what's going on, and the Israelites come a walking back by him. Now pay attention here. It's fixing to get deep. In verse 20 they said, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. They're leaving Pharaoh, headed back out. Verse 21, and they said unto them, this is the Israelites talking of Moses, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. That word abhorred means to smell bad or to stink. They said, Moses, they said, you've just went before an almighty Pharaoh that could kill us all at any one point in given time, and you've made mockery of our God. You've made his name stink. You've made him out to be a joke and a coward and everything else, and you've made him stink. And now they're going to kill us. Verse 22, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated? That word entreated means to spoil. No, good for nothing. Entreated this people. Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Man, it's hit home with me. I mean, it hit home with me as I was studying Saturday night. And I got to thinking so many times, if we, the Lord said it, well, you just go do what I'm telling you, and everything will be all right. I've got you. And we go bebopping down the road of life, and we go, and we get to our task, and we do what God would have us to do, and just something don't work out. So here we come back down to the prayer closet, or we come back down, and we're stomping, and we're, Lord, it ain't working. You ain't helping me. You said it worked, and now they're making fun of me. What is it, Lord? Does that sound familiar? So many times you got a prayer request you've been praying about, and you pray, and it just don't. Lord, it ain't working. It ain't. And now they're laughing at me. Why, Lord? Why? Why me? Why not the preacher? Or why not the deacons? Why do I got to bear this burden? Listen to what the Lord has to say. It's fixing to get deep, I'm telling you. It's about time I fell out of the recliner. We see number 3. We've had the called attendance, right? He's called Moses up. He's explained to Moses what he is to do. And Moses has went and done. And now Moses has come back because things didn't work out, because God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I believe God's trying to show everybody a lesson here in this point in time. He's trying to teach Moses and see if Moses is going to be obedient. He's trying to get the Israelites to get it together. And obviously they still ain't got it together because they still wait. And then he's trying to get Pharaoh to get it together. And he's giving Pharaoh chance after chance after chance. But he hardens Pharaoh's heart that Moses might still be obedient. That Moses will keep coming and keep being the intercessor, so to speak. But we see here, in the start of chapter number 6. Let me get on the right page of notes here. I'd hate to start preaching over. Probably keying's out. We see here, thirdly, we see the call to action. God has heard the cry of the Israelites. He's done said that. He said, I've heard the cry. I've heard what's going on. Moses, I hear what you're saying. I've done seen you go down there. I've seen you come back. And I've seen the 5 or 6 more times that you're going to go and you're going to come back. He said, I know about it. He said, but give me some patience. Let me work. We see him in chapter number 6. All right, here we go. The Bible says, chapter 6, verse number 1. Everybody with me? Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Now listen, that's the righteous Lord. That's the demanding Lord. He's going to demand it out of Pharaoh here about 6 or 7 more times later. Over in about chapter number 12, I believe, if my memory serves me right. But we see here in verse number 3. He said, I appeared unto Abraham. He done that in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 7. And I appeared unto Isaac. And he done that in Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 2. And I appeared unto Jacob. And he done that in Genesis 35 and 9. There's 3 times the Lord's done appeared. And he's telling Moses, he said, I've done appeared to 3 of your forefathers. Now I'm fixing to show you up, old boy. And he said here unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known of them. That word Jehovah means self-existent. He don't need nobody else. He's his own of his own. He can do it all without you and without me. He can do it without Muhammad, and he can do it without Buddha. He can do it without those dead in the grave. He can do it without Biden. He can do it without Trump. He can do it without the Republicans or the Democrats. He can do it without Bethel or Mount Calvary. He can do it without the Joneses or the Slotfestes off the creek. But God, he don't need you or me. He said, when I went to him, he said, I come by the name of God Almighty, and I did not come by the name Jehovah. That Jehovah means self-existence. That's only spoke 3 times. Jehovah's only mentioned 3 times. We see here, in the end of verse 3, it says, was I not known of them? Verse number 4, and I established also, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning. Listen, the Lord said, I've heard it. He said, Moses, I've heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered thy covenant. That word bondage means to serve till or enslave. So till what? Till Pharaoh lets them go, or God softens his heart, or God just smites Pharaoh off the face of the earth and just breaks a wall down and turns them loose. But they're going to be in bondage until otherwise. Just like you stand here tonight, and the Lord is real. I mean, I know there's somebody here tonight, bless God, that you're in bondage and you're enslaved. Until what, preacher? Until the Lord comes and picks you up and carries you off, or you bow down, bless God, and let the Lord have a hold of it to give you a up out of the hole. But we see here, in verse number 5, he said, I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Now here's the meat of the third point. We see God's call to action. God's fixing to move into progression here. We see number one, wherefore shall unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Now here's number one. When God says, I will. Now somebody needs this here tonight. Now my Bible get tore up. And he says, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He's going to lift the load. He's going to, He's going to come on out from under that rock. He said, that burden's weighing you down. Just come on. It's got your coattail. Just come on out. He said, I will bring you out. That's number one. He said, I will bring you out. Bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. But it's got that order to tear you out the frame. He said, I will bring you out. Thank God for that tonight. Number two, he says, I will rid you out from under their bondage. Hey, he said, you ain't going to have to enslave no more. He said, Moses, you go tell them, I will bring you out. I will rid you out of their bondage. He said, thirdly, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. Oh, God. He said, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. And without, it says here, without... And with great judgment. See, I got thinking about that now. That word redeemed means to be redeemed or to be the next of kin. My God, when I got saved, He got me with a stretched out arm. He made me next of kin. He picked me up and said, you're mine and I'm yours, bless God. He said there wasn't nothing too far down that I couldn't get a hold of. There wasn't nothing too far away that I couldn't get a hold of. He said, but I will stretch you and redeem you with a stretched out arm. Oh, thank God for that tonight. I want to read you a piece of scripture right fast that goes with that here in Exodus chapter number 12. In verse number 12, the Bible says, in Exodus 12:12 says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now let me tell you, God said, He said, I will redeem you out of judgment. I will redeem you out of this bondage that you're in. He said, but also there's going to come judgment with it. There'll be judgment behind it. He said, because you've disobeyed me for so long, He said, I'm coming to get you. I'm going to be there. He said, but I'm going to have to spank you over it. There's been times that I've done wrong and mama's told daddy and daddy come home and he said, son, I love you. He said, but that's, I'm going to have to spank you. He said, because I love you. Now, what? It didn't make no sense to me. But God just said the same thing. He said, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, but I'm also bringing judgment. Thank God for that tonight. I wouldn't be the man I am today without a little judgment in my life. He said, not only that, but in Psalms chapter 9, in verse number 16, the Bible says, in Psalm chapter number 9, in verse number 16, probably beat me there. Psalm 9:16, the Bible says, the Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagegon, Selah. My God's known for His judgment. People probably look at us Christians, us saved folk, say, how do you live that walk when life is so hard all the time? Because God, because He takes care of me, because He helps me. When the times get hard, oh God, I just want to, Father, Daddy, help me, get me, pick me up. Oh, God, help me. I'm scared, Daddy. Get me, get me, get me. Oh, thank God. I say, why do you want to go through that? Because I got somebody to pick me up.
when things get hard. Ooh. It says here in verse number 7, the fourth, I will. It says, and I will take you to me. Ooh, four people. He said, Moses, you go tell them now. He said, you tell them and I'm going to come get them and take them up to me for a people. But oh, a salvation. Oh, he said there in John 1:12. Let me turn here. Let me just give you a little bit to help you there. John chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who have believed on his name. Ooh. He said, if you just believe on me, and believe that I went to the cross, believe I went to the grave, believe I died and on the third day I rose up again. But God, he said, I'm going to call and I will make you unto me a people. Ooh. I thank God for that. Not only there, let me give you another. In Romans 8, in chapter number 15, the Bible says in Romans 8 and 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Thank God I've been adopted, church. I've been adopted off this pit of adoption floor. But God, you're thinking about adoption. And the Lord come down and I'm just standing here just, pick me up, Lord, pick me up. And bless God, on a Sunday evening, August of 2010, about right here, Lord, pick me up. He said, Rem, I want you unto my people, and I'm going to save you, and you don't even know just yet what I've got in store for your life. You know why? Because God said, I will. Whew. Oh, thank God for that tonight. Not only we see the fifth I will here in verse number 7. He says, I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. We see here, I'll flip over in Exodus chapter 8, in verse number 10. The Bible says in Exodus 8:10, and he said, tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord your God. There ain't none like God in that church. There ain't nothing out in this world that can compare to my God. There ain't nothing here on this side of eternity that I even want to put on the same platter to try to even compare, to try to even preach to you tonight, that can even come close to comparing to a man named Jesus that went to a cross on Calvary and died for an old wretched sinner like me. He said, bless God, there ain't none like your God. I know lost people, bless God, when I was lost, I've been raised up in church all my life, but tonight I got saved, I could say, they ain't none like God. They ain't none like that God. They ain't no God like that God. They even ain't none that can compare to that God. Amen. They ain't none like Him tonight, church. He's one, almighty, and that's all they ever was. He's Jehovah tonight. He's the precious Savior tonight. He's the one and only for me tonight. He's the drug I'll go to every time because He tears me out the frame. I mean, makes me get all sorts of jolly whistle because He's my God, and there ain't nothing like Him tonight. I thank God tonight that He will. In my lowest of lows, God said, I will. You see, the sixth, I will tonight. In verse number 8, the Bible says, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning thee which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We see here that land in John chapter 14. Let me read a piece of scripture here to you. It's the only thing I could find back that up and to cross over to the New Testament. There's all sorts of scripture in the Old Testament to cross over and to relate to that, because the Lord right there to the Old Testament church, to the people of that time, was talking about the promised land. And bless God, I can tell you right now in John chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, and this is in red and the Lord speaking, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe ye in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Woo. He said, number 6 right there now, and there you, number 6 is the number of man, a number of wickedness, bless God. And He said, "There I will bring you unto a land." And God said, "I go to a land, I go to a place to prepare for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Woo! Bless God, that order just fly all over you tonight, church. Oh, thank God for that. But we see, seventh of all, the seventh I will. And He says here, and the Lord says to Moses, He says, "And I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord." I thank God for that heritage. I thank God for that heritage. I can go back from Revelation, plumb back to Genesis. People say, "Who are you kin to?" Let me tell you about them. I got a family tree bigger than you've ever wanted to see. And I know I'm related to sinners. I am. But bless God, I got a heritage. I got a heritage that I got to stand firm on. Young men of God, we've got a heritage. We've got old men of God that's done passed on, went on before us. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, Brother Mays Jackson, all these great men you hear Preacher Darren and other men of God talking about. Young men, we've got a heritage we've got to link on. We've got a heritage we've got to stand on. And we've got to walk on day in and day out. Say, "Well, preacher, there'll be times that I just can't." God will. God will help you. God will make you a people. God will take you out of bondage. God will lift you out from under the burdens. God will take you unto a new land, into a new place, unto a new home. God will give you a new heritage that you can stand on. And I thank God for that tonight. But I want to leave you with one verse of Scripture in verse number 9. The Bible says in Exodus chapter number 6, in verse number 9, "And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not." They hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. See, Israel was still hurt over Moses for coming and abhorring the name of Jesus to Pharaoh. They were still scared of what Pharaoh might do. They done took their eyes off of the Master. And God said, "You tell them, I said, I will." So I ask you tonight, church, Seth, you come to the piano, every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask you tonight, and God said, "I will make you a people unto me. I will take the burdens off of you. I will help you in any way that I can tonight." And are you going to be like Israel tonight and hearken not unto what the Lord has to say? I mean, we had a phenomenal service this morning. It was great. But God sent me tonight to tell you that He will. He will tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you stand in need of, but God said tonight, "I will." Maybe you're here tonight and you just want to thank God that He will tonight. In your times of struggle, in your times of testing, in your times of praying in the prayer closet, God said, "I will." Maybe you need to come up here and thank Him tonight, because He will. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do that for you tonight, but God said, "I will," and I thank God for that tonight. As people are moving, hearts and souls throughout the house tonight, the Lord's moving. I ask tonight, have there been anybody here? Maybe the Lord's moved on you and you're lost. And maybe you want to be a part of that people. Maybe you want to be a part of that land that we're going to go to one day. Maybe you're lost tonight and God said, "I will save you. I will pick you up out of the miry clay. Maybe you'd raise your hand tonight and I can pray for you. Say, Pastor, I'd like for you to pray for me. Would there be anybody tonight? Anybody at all? Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank you for this tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, that you serve, Lord, much greater than I could ever think of tonight. Lord, I'm thankful, God, tonight that you will. Lord, you will take care of us in a time of need. God, you will take care of us, God, in a time of trial. Lord, in a time of bondage, Father, in a time of bereavement, God, in a time of hurt, in a time of the waves blowing bigger and wailing over top of us, Father, when the night is dark, you said, I will come unto you and take you under my wing. I will come unto you and take you out from under the bondage. And Father, I'm thankful for that tonight. God, I pray, Father, you touch our people. Lord, would you touch our church, Father, our congregation. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, here tonight. God, I thank you for their showing up. And Lord, I pray, God, that you will tonight take care of our people through the upcoming week. God, you will tonight help our people, Lord, as trials come and things come their way. Lord, I'm trusting, God, that you will take care of them. Father, that you will help them, God, through their need. Father, that you will touch the doctors and the tests, God, that's being run. Father, that you will meet the need of the lost, God, that we're praying for as a church family and as a whole. God, I'm thankful, God, that you will tonight. And God, I ask, Father, you'd be with us. God, would you touch us, Father? Would you help us? Lord, I'm thankful, God, tonight that you will. Lord, I can't thank you enough. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, in the days to come. Touch us, Father, I pray. Help us, God, as we go throughout our ways. Send revival, God, to this church, God. We stand in need of it in this land. Lord, I'm thankful that you will meet the need tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Great message. The Lord told me to read this verse before he got up here. I'm going to read it again. Now he's done. Isaiah 43:11. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. Open your Bible back up. I want to reread the text that Remington read where there's the seven I wills of God. I want to reread it. And I'm not looking to do any harm to the text, but I want to insert a word. Okay? And I want you to see the difference. I'm going to use the word maybe. A lot of times we think, well, we have hope. Hope it's going to snow. Hope it don't snow. Hope we have sunshine, hope we don't have sunshine. Hope we have rain, hope we don't have. Listen, he's not a maybe God. Verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I may bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I may rid you out of their bondage, and I may redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I may take you for a people, and I may be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I may bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I may give it you for an heritage. He's not a may. He's not a maybe. He's not a might. Let me give another word. I hear all the time. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just going to be honest. I hear all the time, God can. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, verse 6, I am the Lord. I can bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I can rid you out of their bondage, and I can redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I can take you to me for a people, and I can be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I can bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear it to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I can give it you for a heritage. He can, but that's not what he said. There's a big difference between he can and I will. Do you agree? Now, there's also a much different requirement from me to believe the word. It's one thing for me to believe that he can. How many of y'all believe that he can? Now, no show of hands here. Here's where the rubber meets the highway. How many of you believe he will? There's a difference between maybe, can, and will. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. And here, under the anguish of spirit and for the cruel bondage they were under, and there's oppression, there's bondage, there's situations, there's implications. And it's one thing for you tonight, with COVID and all the things going on in our nation, positive, negative, however you feel about it, it's one thing to believe he can, but it's another thing to believe he will. And the preacher said tonight, and read it to us from the Word of God, I will. Not maybe, not can, but will. And you need to go on record tonight saying, God, I got out over there praying. I said, Lord, I'm glad you didn't just say that you can. I'm glad that you didn't just say that you might. You said, I will. Now, Lord, there's some things in this for me. Woo! I was getting help, preacher. Thank you for the word of God.